And there you go. At least one quarterback in week one will have a revenge spot. Justin Fields and the Jets will host the Steelers. It's been confirmed. It's now everywhere. I think Lightning Ozzie on Twitter had it first. I want to give the right people credit here. Ozzie NFL.
Oh, if it was actually Lightning Ozzie
tweeting.
Was the
first guy who went with it. And then several people have confirmed it. Jets insiders out the rear end have confirmed it. And the NFL, I mean, come on now. The Steelers have absolutely told the Jets that Aaron Rodgers is coming here. I honestly believe this is the strongest indication that it's going to happen. Because look, I mean, Steelers, Jets, it is Fields against his former team. And it's still a pretty glitzy matchup. The Jets always suck, but they are in New York. And the Steelers are also a heritage franchise. So not really two teams that have Super Bowl aspirations, but still juicy matchup because it's a new coach and quarterback in New York. And the Steelers always drive ratings. So in that way, I get it. But this turns into possibly, I haven't looked at the other week one games yet, but it could be the game of the week to start the NFL season. Because if Aaron Rodgers does eventually come here, we've already heard Aaron Rodgers destroy the Jets in that Pat McAfee interview. Aaron Glenn, the GM there, making him fly out there for a 2-second conversation. He was so pissed off, Mulsey, he canceled his golf engagement with Devontae Adams the next day. I don't know if you heard about that.
Didn't.
Yeah. Playing like whistling straights or something like
Adams
that or
golf.
Something stick.
Crooked stick?
Crooked stick, yeah.
That's in Indy, though. Was it out in Indy or was it in Wisconsin?
Oh, I don't know.
Whistling Straits is in Wisconsin. Crooked Stick, where Daly won the PGA, since the PGA Championships tomorrow is in.
You know, maybe
Indiana.
I'm making up the golf course, but either sure. way.
No. I mean, you did well. You named two actual real courses just in different places. It would be the kind of game. We said this yesterday. If you want an Aaron Rodgers, all the marquee grudge match games, you get him out of the way if he's on the Steelers as soon as humanly possible in the season. You do not like, if you're the NFL schedule maker, you do not hold on to your bullets here because you don't know if the player will last the whole
season.
And
just like a big boxing match, you love boxing.
I do, and I love boxing analogies.
You love the pugilistic.
Terrence Crawford's going to take Canelo's head off.
Science, you like all those things.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that.
Yeah.
You love boxing. And one of the things that separates boxing and sets it apart from the other sports is the way that it gets sold and packaged, because you find out the date of a boxing match, and then the boxers and promoters do everything they can in terms of how they talk about each other to drum up and build up interest in the match, in the fight.
They say horrible things about each other and then hug and completely admit right after the match is over, the fight's over.
And they stage weigh-in fights, Donnie. Have you seen that before?
Oh, yeah.
Where they
stare downs,
Donnie. Slap each other in the face and they start pushing each other to try to get people interested in it.
And then they immediately say, we were just trying to promote a fight after it's all done.
This is the NFL equivalent of that. It'll be September 7th or something like that, right? Is that the first Sunday of the NFL season? Yes. And so we'll talk for months about the Steelers getting ready to play the Jets. And that means months of Aaron Rodgers being asked about his former team and his former team getting asked about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, it's going to be constant.
And that's exactly what the NFL wants.
Correct.
That kind of drama. That kind of soap opera feel to it. So,
the NFL wants one of two things in a big marquee matchup, or one of two things can make a marquee matchup. It's either two great teams that almost always then have compelling characters on them. You don't have like an anonymously great team where everybody's just a whatever player. So that's one. Or you have two teams that aren't that great but still have marquee names that move the needle. Steelers, Jets is the latter. And it's Rodgers doing the needle moving.
So we'll have schedule info all day.
It's a holiday for Donnie.
It's a holiday for me, too. I think it's a holiday for tons of listeners.
It's a day
who
I really
known,
enjoy.
Who have known the teams the Steelers are going to play, but the order in which they're playing them is still somewhat a mystery right
it's
now.
It's a day for the Aussies, the nerding on NFLs, the BKBZs.
There
to
is
shine.
An NFL nerd on Twitter who has already cited Donnie today and given him props for things that we'll get into later. But Pop called this on the sports call last night. I hate when he does this stuff. Bob pretends like he doesn't have information, but he does.
Oh, he sandbags you.
Yeah.
And so he's, that's no good.
So he sets up the question, who do you think is going to be the Steelers' first opponent? Knowing full well that he has the answer.
I'll probably tell you at 7:47 p.m. So he, what is a 7:47, Andrew?
So he says last night, the Steelers, I think that the Steelers are going to play the Jets in New York week one. And I immediately called him out for it. Like, you know that this is happening, but you won't say it because you don't want to get in trouble. This is not a guess on your part. You know it to be fact. And sure enough, driving in today, we get that scoop.
When I did a lot of the schedule leaking last year. I think, were you off or something?
I was in California.
Okay, so you were off, but Donnie and I had a field day. Did we go almost perfect, Donnie? Did we have anything wrong? Because we got a really quality like source that was leaking us things left and right. I think we maybe got one game or time wrong, but I think we had it just about nailed. Like, when these things leak out, they're usually pretty credible.
Yeah, I don't worry too much about the times right off the bat. I mean, if it's at least the team in the same week.
I think we had a good – I know we had a great source last year, and I felt like we had a good hit rate on our games.
Well, last year I was at Disneyland for the first time with Stella and my wife, and I started getting multiple texts from people that the Steelers are going to play the Chiefs on Christmas. And so we're in line for things like the teacups.
Didn't you fire that off to me and Donnie and say, hey, you can, you know, I'm going to tweet this, roll with it, it's good?
Yes. And my wife is like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm working right now. And she said, you're on vacation with your daughter at Disneyland for the first time. And I said, you're right. Yes. But thank you for calling me out on this. But I do think this is an exception where can you just give me 10 minutes to do this? And then you'll have me for the rest of the day on these rides. And it is still in line for the Dumbo ride there. That is the first time Stella said a word, and it was she said mama to Amanda a year ago. So you want to talk about a waterworks emotional situation. Like, you couldn't have scripted a time and a place for her to say that better than when we were there. So that's what I think about with the schedule release last year.
What if her first word had been schedule? Aussie.
Oh, she was getting into it, not to get totally sidetracked, Jets. But we were watching the 1978 PGA Championship this morning.
Do you miss persimmon? You miss these cores?
The woods?
Yeah, well, that's what they use. They're called persimmon, yeah.
Do you know what's, now we are getting sidetracked, do you know what's relevant about the 1978 PGA Championship? Come on, Malzy, you're the host of Going Low. It's you and Logan Mankins every Saturday.
Craig Mankins. Just steer me like one hint.
You don't need a hint, damn it. You're Chris Muller, golf aficionado. You went out and walked 18 holes today and said, do you guys know how amazing it feels to get 2,000 steps in before you even take a
15,000.
Dump? 15,000. It is an amazing feeling.
I took the dump.
On the course, like Pop does when he takes the toilet paper out with him?
No, I took the dump in the clubhouse like a dignified human being. It was the last time they played the PGA at Oakmont.
And you had to look that up because
I
saw you
use
your computer.
Yeah. I checked it.
Yes.
Well, I like, by the way, that they don't play the PGA there anymore, that it's a U.S. Open-only venue, because to me, the U.S. Open's the prestigious championship.
Donnie,
of the two.
Give me your thoughts on opening with the Jets. How do you feel about it? We've seen Steelers 49ers week one. That didn't go great. We saw Steelers at Falcons last year. They didn't score an offensive touchdown, but they won. And people freaked out because they started with two road games, but they were very winnable road games because Kirk Cousins was coming off the Achilles tear, and Denver had Bo Nix making his second career start. So how do we feel about Jets as a opener? I don't think the line is out for this game yet, but I'm sure by the time we're off the air, FanDuel have posted lines on some of these games, which I get excited about.
Why don't we all set our own line and guess how close? We'll just see who gets closest. It's Steelers at Jets. Week one, we assume Rodgers and we know Fields. I would say it should be like, ooh, it's going to be small though. I think the Steelers would open as a favorite, but a very small one, like Steelers -2.5.
I was going to go Jets -1.5.
I was going to go Steelers -1.5.
Well, it looks like we're all pretty closely lumped together here, boys.
So you are the schedule freak. Your thoughts on this game as far as opening games go, what do you think of it?
I like it. I mean, it is very easy to have the stories come out for this one, assuming that Rodgers does sign, and it is smart by the league, and one of you guys brought this up. It's only smart by the league to set up a game like this, one of those revenge games, early in the season, especially for a player of Aaron Rodgers' age, because you do know how quickly it could go south. That's why I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know anything on this. I wouldn't be very surprised if that Green Bay game is in the first, like, 6 to 8 weeks of the season.
The NFL's not stupid. They should front-load the Steelers' schedule with every game that has major Aaron Rodgers, like, angles and imports.
There's very little on the football field from a wide receiver perspective that he can't do. He's got short game, he's got long game, he's a combat catch guy, he's got run after, he's a devastating run blocker. We're really excited about the addition of DK Metcalf, and we're going to use all those talents.
Did that come about real quickly, Tristan?
It depends on how you define quickly, but certainly his interest in us really made it a fluid endeavor. It's great to, you know, do business with somebody that's really excited about being a Steeler, and he's expressed that continually, and as are we excited about him being a part of us.
A former Penguins Stanley Cup champ will now coach one of the Penguins' biggest rivals. Tyler Kennedy will join us on that in a few minutes. That was Mike Tomlin on DK Metcalf. This segment brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. Fan Beer of the Month is General Braddock's Brew Gentleman, and the Charity of the Month is Irreverent Warriors. DK Metcalf's Steelers home debut, Acrisure Stadium debut, will happen in week two at home against his former team, the DK Metcalf Bowl. Who is reporting this? Donnie.
Done.
Not Adam Schefter.
Done.
Not Ian Rappaport. Not Jordan Schultz.
Not Ballsack Sports. Donnie Chedrick.
Not MLB Scoops. It's you.
Not Honest and no, wait, what's the one that ML Football? We could keep going.
How did you get into the Steelers schedule news breaking business? This is an unbelievable job by you. I haven't heard Kalis talk in months. Bechtold is busy fighting with Pomp, and our producer is breaking gigantic news.
I have my people.
Did you think when you woke up this morning that you were going to be able to land a huge Steelers schedule news nugget? Did you think that that was going to happen?
I thought it was realistic to maybe get one or two.
Oh, so there might be more, Chris. The man might not be done.
You're holding out on us. I don't have another one.
I said maybe one or two.
Are you hoping the source hears this and wants to give you another one?
Because you did such a good job protecting your source, unlike Kabali, who would be like, a person who has been with the Steelers longer than any other player told me all the schedule release news.
Who might be at the very top, and his first name rhymes with smart. He said to me,
a man with the initials MT called me today. I can tell you a couple weeks the Steelers will not be playing the Ravens. Or 1 week they won't be playing the Ravens. They won't be playing them week 9. They will not be having their other game against the Bengals in week 16 because the entire Dolphins schedule has leaked. So any common opponents with the Steelers on there, you can cross off certain weeks for the Steelers playing those teams.
Were the reports about the Dolphins playing the Steelers in week 15
correct.
Accurate on Monday
yes,
Night Football?
Monday night. Okay. And then they play the Bengals Sunday night the next week. So they will not be getting, the Steelers will not be seeing the Bengals in week 16. They will not be seeing the Ravens in week 9. We already had, week 7 is...
The Steelers and Bengals on Thursday Night Football.
So that's Browns for the Dolphins. So, like, you can already, by process of elimination, Steelers have the Colts on the schedule. We know that's not week 1, but that's when the Dolphins are about playing Indy. So you can do process of elimination and get a couple more of these out.
Do you feel like this person is giving you this information because they know what a schedule fanatic you are? Do you feel like your love of the NFL schedule is benefiting you in getting this information?
I don't think it hurts me. That I am a nerd about a day like this.
Have you been hounding, or is this like, have you been like, hey, I please tell me the opener, or is it, did it fall in your lap?
More of the fall in the lap.
Wow.
Yeah.
No hounding required.
I don't hound a ton.
I should probably hound more.
People hounding want Donnie to get this news.
I think hounding is a fine art, though. I always feel guilty about hounding. Never want to hound. I think Pony has learned the artful way to hound. And then when you hound effectively, people just start giving it to you so that you don't hound them. Like, you know what I mean? He's got the sweet spot.
And look where he is, in the highest seat in this building.
Oh my God. Screw you guys.
The chair of power. You're breaking schedule news. Pony's had a big day with breaking news. And meanwhile, I'm just a complete idiot who got the Aaron Rodgers guess wrong.
And what was your name on Colin Cowherd's show?
Chris Mueller.
What was your name? Steelers insiders, condoning Tom Filipponi and Chris Mueller, who cover the team deeply, are saying there is a big Steelers announcement coming today.
Yeah, thanks, Bill McIntyre.
I'm sorry,
Jason McIntyre.
First of all, I guess take the compliments where I can get them. Covering the team deeply is a new one. I haven't heard that before.
Covering the team profoundly.
And you said there was going to be a big announcement, and I backed you up on it. So he did get that part of it wrong, but I wanted to support you in that call. And by the way, it was not a report either. It was just a prediction you were making.
Yeah, it was like an educated
guess. You were connecting dots. You were reading tea leaves.
Yes.
Doing things of that nature. No one inside the Steelers organization tipped you off and said, hey, Chris,
no, none of that.
I got a big one for you.
It was not, hey, this is happening, and then I went with it and it was wrong.
So I teased before we went to break. I said, here's an angle to game one, Steelers-Jets, that no one, I don't think, has talked about.
Yep.
And so Riders will not only have to talk about, if he comes here, which we all think he will now with this decision, not only will he have to talk about playing the Jets and how much he hates the Jets' decision and how it ended so terribly, how about he's got to go back there and play, it's identical to the situation where he blew his Achilles out. It's week one in New York. Yes, he played an entire year there last year.
He's
going to
play in front of fans who are probably going to be booing him vociferously.
Yeah, it's just that whole vibe. I'm very excited for Donnie because it's interesting the way this schedule information has come out because it's not from the mainstream guys. I think the mainstream guys have basically been told,
don't do it. Ari Myrov is the one who I actually saw tweet out the whole
Dolphins
schedule.
That are a little bit off the beaten path. Like, who's the guy that you're obsessed with following this time of year who seems to have gotten a lot of scoops this year?
Oh, it's you got Aussie NFL and then Aussie you have the NFL nerd.
And then I follow, there's a BK Beezy who does a lot of these too.
Who would have thunk it that a guy named Aussie NFL has been on the forefront? I think he had Steelers, Jets before anybody else.
Donnie,
who is this guy? Have you texted with him? Have you DM'd him?
We've DM'd before, but I have no idea who he actually is.
Yeah, they're just random anonymous guys who do. This is his Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's like a must follow here because he shoots about 97%.
It's basically 2 days a year where these accounts Donnie and I have mentioned, that's their Super Bowl. Donnie was convinced that the nerding on NFL was just fake John and Robinson using a separate account.
So when you announced breaking Steelers Seahawks home opener week two, did Aussie NFL then take it as his own report,
no,
or did
he credit you?
He
credits you, I think. He credits people.
Yeah.
He gave you a little pop.
They'll go like source or credit. They actually do a very good job of that.
I mean, there's also ones where like I will DM him, like we kind of...
There's a little trading, a little tit for tat.
He's not the one that gave me that game.
Okay, but there's some quid pro quo.
Yeah, there's tit for tat here. There's information trading
like,
going on.
You know what I could see
Scotty
you doing?
Puts on his broker's hat.
I know exactly. I know this man. I can read him like a book.
Oh boy!
Like he's of mice and men right now. He's Lenny.
My
in there.
Favorite, Lenny.
I guarantee you, he's told Aussie, "Hey, just give you a little heads up. Do not have the Steelers at home week one and week three because there's a Pirates game at PNC Park and because of the parking situation
Donnie,
on the North
though.
Shore.
You're touching a nerve.
They can't play games that weekend.
Oh no! He was already out ahead of that because he makes like that whole grid. He like posts a grid he has. You can click the link to it. He's already well ahead of that, even though everybody makes every joke in the book about, you know, bro, why would they do that? The Pirates will have like 500 people at the game by then. Well, they've done it like once.
And the games weren't even close to each other.
Right,
there was one at 1 o'clock, and there was a Sunday night game against the Bears. Yeah.
We also have good news about the Christmas slate. The Steelers did not get stuck there this year.
And they're not on Thanksgiving because the Lions game is week 16.
Correct.
And the person who sent that to me has a good sense of humor and said, a horrible pony prediction on Thanksgiving regarding the Steelers won't ruin your day because the Steelers aren't going to play on Thanksgiving.
I like that. That is a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
Did you take it in stride?
Of course. If you're going to give me a scoop and like what all I have to do to get the scoop is for you to rip me. That's a great trade.
YouTube commenters heard you tell the story of getting a schedule scoop about last year's Christmas game while Stella was getting ready to ride the teacups, and the consensus has emerged. It's actually, by YouTube commenter standards, this has been very pleasant. They just said, as soon as Stella is old enough to understand betting, the first thing she'll learn is to fade every pick her father makes.
Mm-hmm.
People just having an absolute field day.
By the time she's done with college, she can pay for all of it herself.
She's got a $500,000 in the bank literally by just fading her dad.
Yeah, but then we're at zero. I mean, we just break even, right? Because I will have lost all that money.
She'll do like chores for allowance, and she'll be putting parlays together to get huge odds.
Oh, I have a great story about parlays, by the way, that involves somebody working here that I'm going to tell you guys about later.
I can't imagine who that might be.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Rick Tocchet, on again, off again, Penguin and Flyer, has dominated for both franchises. And now he's taking his coaching services to Philly. Some wanted him to be the next Penguins coach. I really didn't think it made sense, even though I think Tocchet is pretty good and was definitely a vital part of the Penguins winning their back-to-back cups as an assistant coach.
He was the Kessel Whisperer.
That got through to Phil Kessel, exactly.
He was probably the intermediary when Mike Sullivan wanted to like strangle Phil Kessel, but they knew they needed Phil Kessel. Enter Rick Tocchet.
Tyler Kennedy joins us right now, Penguins Stanley Cup champion in his own right. Tyler, what are your thoughts on Tock going to the rival Flyers?
I think he's the right fit for them, especially with the way I think they need someone who's going to try to turn that organization around. They've struggled for a long time, and I think bringing a guy like that back, bringing his emotion, his hockey IQ, what he's been around, what he's been through, I think it's a big pickup for Philadelphia. Do I think it'd be the right move for Pittsburgh? I don't think so, not with the state they're in. When I think of a guy like Tox, I just think he's like that motivational guy, the guy that like would be such a great assistant coach also, just because I think he's got such a great relationship with players. He's very good at being that buffer between the head coach and the player, and he's so good at that. But obviously I know he wants to be a head coach, but I think it's a great move by Philadelphia. But again, I don't think it would have been the right move for Pittsburgh to pick a guy like that up to be the head coach.
TK, we've talked before about just like the kind of coach you'd want to take this job now that Mike Sullivan's gone. And I think you and I are on the same page. We want more of an up and coming younger coach. But when it comes to like the actual characteristics of that coach, is it more important that whoever it is has like a really good system, or maybe is really good at relating to players and it's not so much about the system that they run? You know, like Jacques Lemaire way back when, he was going to run the neutral zone trap with the Devils and everything. Like, is it system, or is it, hey, guy who can get through to the players in a certain way?
I think first is getting through to the players, you know, and it's not like the young players. It's the guys like Evgeny Malkin, the guys like Carlson, playing, getting them to buy into the team game, getting them to buy into the defensive system the Penguins have to play now to be successful. I think that's probably the biggest focus. And obviously coming in and having just a different voice in the room, a different breakout, a different power. Like the power play can probably stay the same because it's done so well this year, but just having different system, it just excites a player when something's different, new, and a new voice coming to it. But the biggest thing for a guy coming in is to be able to get those top-end guys to buy into the system defensively, mostly those two, Evgeny Malkin and Carlson.
TK, have you seen Aaron Rodgers at Neville yet?
No, I'm on the course right now. I'm looking for him. I can't find him.
Have you asked around there?
Yeah, you know what? It's actually like a guy came up to me on the range today, and he's like, hey, you hear that Aaron Rodgers became a member here? And he started laughing like it was a joke. Mm. You know, these rumors are crazy, you know. But
could you see Aaron Rodgers at Neville Wood? Is it something that is crazy because he would never join a place like Neville Wood? Or do you think, actually, if he signed with the Steelers, Neville Wood would make all the sense in the world for Aaron Rodgers, TK?
Well, one, I just think Neville Wood's one of the best courses in Pittsburgh, and I think it'd be a great fit for him. And so, again, it's a great course. But I don't think it'd be the right thing to do to go golfing at a country club and not telling when you signed here or what your plan is. You know what I mean? Like, there's just too many rumors. I just think he should just pretty much come out and, like, let everyone know what he's doing. Because right now, everyone's in the dark, and it's like, what are we doing, you know? But I think the Steelers have a plan. I think they're very smart. The guy in charge knows exactly what he's doing with Omar Khan. They have a plan, and they keep it tight to their vest, and they just have to stick to it. And if Aaron Rodgers is part of the plan, good. But if he's not, I think, again, they have a plan for that too.
Okay. More importantly, TK, how are you playing today?
Boys, it's golf. Like, I swear, my hands on the greens are like my hands in front of the net. Like, I couldn't hit that hole if I wanted to. It's so frustrating because I'm actually pretty good all the way to the green. And then I don't know, I don't take enough time to teach myself how to putt properly.
Donnie, he needs you to come in and finish the
Donnie
job.
Donnie doesn't really golf.
I think we do anything but team, putt. TK.
Yeah, he can putt it though, TK. It's wild.
He can't do anything else. He's the putting master. He's
good
like
around
Brad
the
Faxon
greens.
Back in the day.
It's a frustrating, fun sport.
Do you have a couple of transfusions when you're out there? What do you do with that?
No. I, okay. You know what? I like to play. I need to play for something. That's the biggest thing. I need to play for not much money, but I like to play for a couple bucks, $5, $10, you know, whatever.
Sure.
But yeah. I need to play for something. It's one of those things. Like, it fuels my, like, competitiveness. And, like, I love playing with my buddies, getting them going. You know how it is, boys. It's such a great time on the course, battling your buddies and, you know, just having fun out there.
Who was the best player on the Penguins when you played for the team? Best golfer?
Let me guess, Fedotenko.
No, I think the best golfer was actually the head coach with Dan Bylsma. Dan Bylsma was like, ooh, a scratch golfer.
Wow.
Yeah, I was behind him and Mario one time at the beginning of the year golfing, and those guys were battling, going back and forth. So those two guys are stud golfers, but for players, like, I don't know.
Can Sid play? Is Sid a decent player?
Sid's good. Yeah. Sid can do everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, what can Sid do really good? Sid can play. Like, I don't think he's a scratch golfer, but, like, I don't think he's, like, a 20. You know, if I was to guess, like, I bet you Sid's, like, under 10 for sure.
Man.
All right, you know? TK. Well, enjoy the rest of your round. Thank you.
All right, boys. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Yep.